Vallandigham's following, though probably not overwhelmingly large, did constitute a threat to Northern morale in the trying days of the early spring of 1863. Many Democrats in the Midwest and in New York State were increasingly coming to believe that a negotiated settlement with the South was imperative. They were not happy with emancipation, with conscription, with the suspension of the writ of habeas corpus, and other such Republican measures, and they believed that a change was necessary. The Democratic gains in the 1862 elections also demonstrated that Northerners were willing to vote against the Republicans when their feelings were aroused, and Vallandigham did all he could to arouse them, as did other Copperhead speakers. The spring elections in New Hampshire and Connecticut, two New England states, showed great Democratic strength. There were also rumors of liaisons between Copperheads and Confederate agents in the North, and Copperhead newspapers openly called for Northern soldiers to desert. Men from the Copperhead regions, in fact, did seem to be deserting in high numbers. For example, all but 35 men of the 128th Illinois Infantry deserted in early 1863. In short, many people perceived that there was a crisis in the North, a crisis of morale, a political crisis that might endanger the Union, and Vallandigham might make that crisis worse. A military commission tried Vallandigham and sentenced him to imprisonment for the duration of the war. A federal judge refused to issue a writ to release Vallandigham into the custody of a civil court. And Democrats and even some Republicans denounced these proceedings. They said it was a grotesque violation of Vallandigham's civil rights. It establishes military despotism, said Democratic Governor Horatio Seymour of New York. If it is upheld, our liberties are overthrown. Lincoln was embarrassed by Burnside's order. I think probably very disappointed in Burnside's lack of political acumen in deciding to do this. Very embarrassed, but he came up with a typically clever solution, did Lincoln. He commuted the sentence from a term in prison to banishment to the Confederacy. If Vallandigham likes the Confederacy so much, said Lincoln in effect, let's send him to the Confederacy. Vallandigham was escorted to Braxton Bragg's lines in Tennessee and handed over to the Confederates, who really didn't know what to do with him. Vallandigham was no prize for them. Eventually, the Ohioan went to Canada, while his friends pursued his case, his legal case, to the Supreme Court. The court later upheld the legality of the proceedings against Vallandigham. Let's move to the presidential election of 1864. Which marked the final political crisis for the Lincoln administration. War weariness had set in by midsummer 1864. As we've seen, the Northern public was reeling from news of casualties in the Overland campaign, disappointed in the fact that there weren't clear Union victories at Richmond and in Atlanta. Both Grant and Sherman seemed to be stalled, and more than that, a Confederate army under Jubilee Early had gotten all the way to the suburbs of Washington during the second week of July 1864. We'll talk more about that campaign in a later lecture. Lincoln himself had gone out to observe this rebel army, gone to Fort Stevens. He'd looked out. He'd come under fire briefly, the only time during the war when that happened to Lincoln. Everywhere the Northern people looked, they saw either stalemate or failure. And there was, again, everywhere they looked militarily, that is, there was again considerable support for some kind of peace negotiations. Lincoln made it known that he would entertain negotiations for any peace that embraced restoration of the Union and emancipation. These terms were unacceptable, of course, to the South. Now, the Democrats in the North claimed that only Republican insistence on abolition prevented serious negotiations from going forward. But in fact, Jefferson Davis had made it amply clear that peace would come only with Southern independence from the Confederate point of view. It's a question of Davis and Lincoln having no common ground to launch discussions from, because one insisted on reunion and one insisted on Southern independence. It looked grim for Lincoln and the Republicans. One Republican chieftain observed in August, quote, Lincoln's reelection is an impossibility. Many shared this view, including Lincoln, who wrote on August 23rd, this morning, for some days past, it seems exceedingly probable that this administration will not be reelected. There was talk of holding a convention of Republican dissidents, those who thought Lincoln was too soft on the South in terms of Reconstruction and other issues, and those who thought he had no chance for victory and should give way to a man who could win.